Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And this afternoon we have Dr. Bernard Rimland with us, and Rimland, and we're going to be talking about autism. And this is a terrible, terrible condition, but it's rapidly increasing. Back in the 1960s, we had perhaps 1 in 10,000 children had autism. Today, it's about 1 in 150, but since it's predominantly in boys, it must be about every 1 in 50 or 60 boys. This is a problem that destroys families, and yet there are treatments for this, and there is much that can be done to prevent that, and that's what the Autism Research Organization of Dr. Rimland heads is all about. Dr. Rimland, thank you so much for being with us today.
My great pleasure.
Why don't you tell our listeners just a little bit about yourself? I know you've been at this, for 40, almost 50 years?
Yes, almost 50 years, right. Yeah, my autistic son was born in 1956. He was one of the kind that was being born then very rarely, where the autism was visible at birth, but except that no one knew what was wrong with the kid. He just would not look at anybody. You couldn't pick him up, and he was just screaming all the time. Our pediatrician had been in practice for 35 years, had never seen a kid like this. I was, at that point, 3 years beyond my Ph.D. in psychology, experimental psychology, not clinical psychology. I never tried to treat anybody. I'm a researcher. And I'd never heard the word autism in my life. It wasn't until my boy was 2 years old that my wife remembered reading one of her college textbooks about these really very strange, very rare kids that repeated nursery rhymes and television, well, at that time, radio commercials. We didn't have television then. And, and he was doing those things. So we found he was autistic, and since that time, 46 years now, I've been working night and day, weekends and holidays, trying to find what this is all about, what we can do about it to prevent it and to treat it.
Well, now, of course, you were one of the first people many years ago to point out the relationship between mercury and, of course, autism, weren't you?
Yes, right. I published a book on autism in 1964, which destroyed the myth that at that time was totally prevalent in the medical establishment. They believed that autism was an emotional disorder caused by bad mothering. Mother didn't love the kid enough, and so what she did is to give psychotherapy or psychoanalysis to both the child and the mother, and that supposedly would cure it, and that was total nonsense. I wrote a book to destroy that myth, and it succeeded in doing that. But another thing it succeeded in doing, I proved that autism was a biological disorder. The parents began writing to me from all over the world saying that, you know, this is what I think caused my kid's autism. And I began reading about all those different treatments and theories, and began looking into mercury poisoning, because mercury poisoning in children has exactly the same symptoms as autism.
And, of course, it's in the vaccines that they were insisting all of our children take. And some children really are much more sensitive to it than others, aren't they? Don't you think that's a large part?
That's an extremely large part of it. I was amazed at a conference a few years ago when one of the researchers present said that some people are sensitive to 1/10,000th as much mercury as other people can tolerate. I said, did you say 1/10,000th? And the researcher said, yes. Subsequently, however, I ran across a paper which showed that the number is really 1/1,000,000th. Some people can tolerate only 1/1,000,000th as much mercury as other people can.
Well, hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here with Dr. Bernard Rimland. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Well, our guest this afternoon is Dr. Bernard Rimland, and he has been 46 years working in the field of autism, trying to find out the cause, trying to find out what could be done about it. And, of course, he had had a son born in 1956 who was autistic, and autism is such a terrible, terrible disease because it can totally disrupt a family and destroy the lives not only of the child but of the family. And of course, it's becoming so prevalent, and the medical establishment has done everything they could to block information tying the mercury that is in childhood vaccines into the incidence of autism. And yet, you have certainly heard that story over and over, I'm sure, as I have, that of course my child was perfectly all right until they gave them those shots, and immediately after that, they started to react. Have you heard that story?
I began hearing that story way back in the 1960s. We began questioning parents, what do you think caused your autism, and what aggravated it, and so forth. And way back in the 60s, people began writing to me saying that the vaccines that were used at the time, which was largely the DPT shot, made their kid much worse or started the autism.
And, of course, immediately the doctors were defensive because, of course, they've given the shot. They certainly don't want to admit that they would do anything harmful. And I don't think the average doctor would even consider doing anything harmful. So immediately, of course, the red flags went up. No, it wasn't that. I mean, after all, just because you fall down and you're found to have a cancer in your leg doesn't mean the fall gave you the cancer in your leg. So, and of course, I've heard that story and that explanation used over and over again. I may have even used that myself, which is true. The fall doesn't give you the cancer, but there can be a causal relationship. And definitely, this is pretty well proven today, isn't it?
Well, it is proven, except to the medical establishment. The evidence is overwhelming and conclusive, as far as I'm concerned. However, there are billions of dollars of liability involved here. You know, the parents are doing class action lawsuits against the drug companies, just like the tobacco companies were sued on when the lung cancer connection was revealed. So they're denying it, and they have an awful lot of clout, those drug companies. They have a lot of control over the media because, you know, you see all those ads on television and the newspapers and, you know, ask your doctor about Celebrex, ask your doctor about Vioxx, ask about Lipitor, and all those things, and you say, why on earth are they advertising that I should ask my doctor about it? Well, the reason that they have those ads is that it's a means for them to bribe, you might say, the media.
Hold that thought for just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Dr. Bernard Rimland, and we're talking about the relationship between autism and mercury. And, of course, this is fairly well determined and fairly well established. I'd say it's very well established by the researchers, but, of course, they cannot admit that. Think of the liability. In fact, according to Dr. Mark Geyer, and I don't know if you're acquainted with Dr. Mark Geyer, but
yes,
he's done some extensive research on this. He thinks that probably about one out of six children, be it not only the autism, but with the attention deficit disorders and some of the other mental disorders and mental deficiency, about one out of six American children has been harmed by mercury. Do you think that's an exaggeration?
No, I don't think it's an exaggeration at all. I would say that the number is probably even higher than one in six. Autism is the extreme case where it's very, very visible the child's been injured. But there are also increases epidemic increases in a lot of other areas, such as so-called ADHD, you know, hyperactivity. The juvenile diabetes is on the upswing to a great degree, asthma, allergies, all kinds, learning disabilities, all kinds of problems exist, and it's very difficult to trace them, you know, what the reason is for the increase. But since mercury is such an extremely toxic substance, the idea of injecting it directly into a kid's bloodstream is certainly a terrible one, and in my view, it causes probably much more than one child in six to have problems of various kinds.
And, of course, we know, for instance, it creates madness and insanity. In fact, that's why hatters became mad. They became suicidal. And the old fresh expression, he was as mad as a hatter. And of course, my goodness, the government's so worried about the mercury exists in fish in the middle of the ocean. Or they're worried about the fumes that may come out of a coal-burning camp. pardon me, a coal-burning generator or a coal-burning furnace. And yet, of course, they've allowed for years massive toxic doses of mercury to be injected into our children. And they've recently taken out of the childhood vaccines, at least we're told they have. I don't know whether they have or not. But now, of course, they still put it into the influenza shots. And then they tell you if you love your child, you're going to get an influenza shot for him. Giving them massive doses of mercury. Now, certainly some children can tolerate it, others can't. Is that pretty well the picture?
I frankly don't think anyone can tolerate it. Some individuals can tolerate it less well than others.
All right.
It doesn't do anybody any good. But you never know, you know, what's going to happen to a child 20, 30 years downstream. You know, there's an upsurge in Alzheimer's disease also. And this is thought to be perhaps the results of mercury intoxication from dental amalgam. So there's, you know, the effects are not necessarily immediate. If it's immediate, it could be autism or a similar child disorder, but the load of mercury in a person's body just stays there forever unless you get rid of it. And that's one of the most interesting things I know that I've learned recently, is that there are methods of getting rid of mercury, and if you get rid of the mercury in autistic children, the children get better. A remarkable degree.
Well, now, how can we get rid of the mercury from our autistic children and from the other children who have the attention deficit disorders and the hyperactivity disorders and all of these things? How can we actually get rid of that?
Well, it's not an easy process. we had a think tank and a group of scientists meeting together to arrive at a consensus method of doing that. The first one was in February of 2001, and our consensus report on mercury removal is on our website on the internet, if anyone wants to download it.
Well, how can they get to the website?
Okay, it's www.autismresearchinstitute, all one word, autismresearchinstitute.com, autismresearchinstitute.com, and you look for the mercury detoxification consensus report. However, in late September, we're going to have a second think tank because we've learned a lot in the past several years. It's been almost 3 years since the first think tank, and now there are some newer and simpler methods for getting rid of the mercury.
All right, well, now you're going to do something like using these very substances that you use for heavy metal intoxication.
Exactly.
I forgot what
yes.
It was.
DMSA and DMTS.
Right.
EDTA, which is used for other kinds of circulation, does not do much about getting rid of mercury. And we've been using, or the doctors that are doing this, have been using DMSA. But now it looks as though the DMTS may be more effective. It may be possible to use it, you know what you're doing, use it by a transdermal gel, you know, applying a lotion to the skin that will carry the stuff into the body. But we're going to have, as they say, meetings about maybe 40 scientists and physicians who are experienced in this, and will come out with a new report, which will probably be on our internet site in a few months.
Well, you know, I can remember when I was very young. In fact, even when I first went into medicine, we used to have methylate and mercurochrome we put on wounds because it's an excellent antiseptic. It kills all the bugs, but it also is absorbed into the body. And so eventually this was outlawed. And, of course, increasingly why they want us to have mercury thermometers and mercury sphygmomanometers. Oh, this is such a terrible danger for mercury, but just roll up your sleeve and we're going to give you an injection that has a significant dose of mercury, sometimes 50 or 60 times for children of what the EPA allows. So why isn't something being done to stop that?
Well, it is being done to stop it, but it's been done very slowly and gradually because if you admit that the mercury causes these problems, then, of course, the parents who are having lawsuits against the drug companies will have a lot of ammunition. So they're just sort of trying to ease the situation through. You know, when the Firestone tires were discovered to be defective, they were immediately removed from the marketplace, just got rid of them. When mercury was found to be, you know, a highly toxic component of vaccines, they decided to phase them out, you know, slowly over a period of years rather than precipitously. I think that's criminal, and they should have been stopped immediately, but they didn't. They've been just phasing it out.
Well, I think, remember when the Bush administration tried to sneak through in some sort of a provision and the Office of Homeland Security legislation that would, of course, make Eli Lilly exempt from lawsuits dealing with the thimerosal they'd been producing that was being put into the vaccines. How did you stop that?
Well, the parents got wind of it. This was just about over the Christmas vacation when it was the bill was about to be passed and no one was around, and they tried to put a midnight rider into the bill, saying that because of national security need for vaccines, that vaccine manufacturers could not be sued. But the parents of the autistic kids, because of the internet, they're a pretty sharp bunch of parents. They got wind of this and they started a campaign to contact their congressional representatives, and they blocked that. But I'm sure they're continuing to. The government is continuing to try to protect the drug companies.
Well, I would think that the government would try to protect the children, especially.
Well, you would certainly hope so.
Well,
one of our champions in the government is Senator Representative Dan Burton of Indiana, whose grandson became autistic after he was given a bunch of vaccines. In one day, he was given 40 times as much mercury. One day. In the form of vaccine preservative, as the Environmental Protection Agency considers the maximum allowable amount, tolerable dose. There's a nurse in Lynn Redwood in Atlanta who really blew the whistle on this to start with. She found that her child had been given in one day 125 times as much mercury in the forms of vaccines as the Environmental Protection Agency considered to be the maximum allowable amount. It's just incredible.
Well,
of course, when it's given by injection, you bypass the body's protective mechanisms, and it just goes right to the organs that it can poison.
Well, doesn't this really have a predilection for the brain?
I don't know if it has a predilection or not, but it certainly can cause a lot of damage. It hurts the immune system, it hurts the digestive system, it hurts the brain, it hurts the kidneys, it hurts everything.
All right, fine. Well, I just think it's really such a terrible travesty. And now, your son actually has improved tremendously, though, hasn't he, through the years?
Yes. When he was 5 years old, we were told to institutionalize him, that he was a hopeless case. He was still in diapers when age 7.5 or 8. He was he had not answered a question or asked a question until he was about 8 years old. And then I began learning about some of the things that I could do. For example, high doses of vitamin B6, whereas most of us seem to be able to get along reasonably well on the RDA, recommended daily allowance, which some people call the ridiculous daily allowance, 2 milligrams a day or so. Some autistic kids need 1,000 milligrams a day. So we started giving him large amounts of vitamin B6 and magnesium. We did a lot of research on that, and doing a number of other things, and he began to improve. And he lives with us at home. He's not capable of earning a living on his own, but he's a very pleasant and well-mannered individual now, adult, who's turned out to be a very good artist.
And so many times these children really are very talented, aren't they? It's just that they have difficulty with communication?
Well, they're intelligent in certain ways. Now, my son, at a very early age, could repeat nursery rhymes, radio commercials perfectly. He could remember everyone's birthday and tell you on what day of the week it was going to fall. His mind was like a little calculator. It could process information, certain kinds of information, very accurately, but it could not process social information. He could do the same kinds of things that an electronic device could do, like a tape recorder or a hand calculator, but he could not speak or understand other people.
Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment with Dr. Bernard Rimland, who, of course, is with this Autism Research Institute, and they're on the front lines of trying to get the information about this terrible disease that is inflicting, Dr. Rimland thinks over 1 in 6 of our children, he thinks that rate is really far higher. How many children have lost 10 points from their IQ or 15 points? Maybe if they were 160, why it wasn't so bad. But what happened if they started off with an IQ, say, of about 80? We'll be back here in just a moment, here at Radio Liberty.
except genocide. And one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dinigan who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America. The fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer because people are going to have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer. An incredible interview and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our four-tape set, Genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack today.
And among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives, the longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done, get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today, 800-544-8927, 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap, it's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here. Our guest this afternoon is Dr. Bernard Rimland. If you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question or comment, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And we've been talking about this disease. It really was very, very rare back in 1956 when Dr. Rimland's son was born autistic. It has become very, very commonplace as we've given more and more in the way of vaccinations. And, of course, the medical establishment has a vested interest in this. There are some doctors who've done the research and understand what this is about. And there are some doctors who will not give their children the vaccines, but they are required by law to offer them to your children, and you better find out what the background and the dangers are of taking vaccines. There's a risk-benefit ratio, but certainly with the thimerosal in the vaccines, why, of course, the risk far outweighed the benefit. Now, have they really taken the thimerosal out of all of the childhood vaccines, or do we really know one way or the other?
Well, they have certainly started and gotten quite a good way along the path of getting rid of the vaccines. In fact, here in California, where we have very good statistics on autism, the best in the world, actually, best statistics in the world, there's, for the first time in the past 30 years or so, there has been a drop over a three-month period in the number of new cases of autism. It's been going up and up and up and up. And finally, there's looks like the turnaround may be starting. This is exactly when you'd find the turnaround to be starting if it made a difference to remove the mercury from the vaccines. Having said that, the chances are very great that any particular vaccine will not contain mercury, but some of the stuff that's still on the shelves in doctors' offices and pharmacies and warehouses still has mercury in it. So we advise parents to make sure that there's no mercury in any vaccine your child is given. You have to see the label and the package insert. You can't just take someone's word for it, because it doesn't say mercury. It says thimerosal. And that many doctors don't know or don't care that there's mercury still left in the vaccines on the shelf. Also, there's the new pediatric flu vaccine, which does contain mercury. And here in California, in fact, I testified last week at the state senate, capitol building, against allowing them to continue giving mercury to children in California in the form of vaccines. A bill has been proposed that would outlaw any use of mercury in pediatric vaccines after 2006. So don't ask me why it's going to has to wait 3 years before.
Now, do you know the numbers of those bills? Because we just got something from Barbara Lowe Fisher saying that this legislation here in California to outlaw mercury in childhood vaccines, or really in any vaccines, of course, the medical establishment, the public health officers, the CDC, the NIH, everybody is screaming how terrible it would be. But I think, of course, that we have to, get that mercury out of the vaccines. And the only way we're going to do it, of course, is to actually get the legislature to understand there's a concern. Do you know the numbers on those bills?
I don't know the number of the bill, but I would urge that any of your California listeners contact their state representatives, the state senators and assembly persons, and just say that you want mercury outlawed. You don't have to know the number of the bill.
All right, fine.
The office staff will know the number of the bill. Just say that you think it's outrageous that they're continuing to use mercury and childhood vaccines, and you want it stopped.
All right, Fran, please call your state senator, call your state assemblyman, let their office know of your deep concern, and you expect them to vote in favor of the bill that is going to take the mercury out of our vaccines. Let's go to Sarah Jo, who's calling from upstate New York. Hi, Sarah Jo.
Hi. Finally, I got on your program here. I called the other night and couldn't get through because I had to leave, but I listen to you often, and I just love your programs, because you give so much information, it's almost too much to contain, to remember. Now, the autism, is that the same thing as the ADHD and the ADD? Is that autism in general, or?
Dr. Remland?
Yeah, they are related. ADHD is considered to be on the autism spectrum.
Okay.
The autism spectrum ranges from kids with ADHD, where the kids who have what they call attention deficit hyperactive disorder. Those kids can't control their behavior very well, but they're not autistic in the sense that the kids with ADHD can't interact with other people. Well, the autistic kids are really very impaired in all their social relationships. Autism is much, much more severe, but the same kinds of treatments that are helpful to autistic children are also helpful to ADHD. That does not include giving them Ritalin, which is harmful to both groups.
Sarah Jo, we're going to have to go to a break. You want to hang on or not?
No, I just wanted to know that, so
okay,
I'll listen.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. Bye.
there's any one tape that you should hear, it's my talk on geopolitics, an untold story that is vitally important if America is to survive as a free nation. It goes into the background of the forces that have created the wars of the 20th century, the Boer War, the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. We go into the ideological and the spiritual battle behind the forces that have moved America from crisis to crisis and are currently undermining the very fabric of our society. That number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and the tape, Geopolitics. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perished. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of my talk on geopolitics.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and a few weeks ago, Kevin DeMeritt of Lear Financial contacted us and asked if he could sponsor some of our programs. Well, I looked into the background of the company. They have an excellent reputation, so I think it's a good time to think very seriously about investing in precious metals. Why? Because we have inflation, we have a progressively devalued dollar, and we've lost almost 30-40% of our value of our currency, and we know that people like Warren Buffett are investing overseas. They're not investing in American currencies. Why not give the people at Lear Financial a call at 1-888-302-7111, that's 1-888-302-7111, and ask for their free audio seminar. Again, the number 1-888-302-7111. I think this is an excellent time to consider protecting your assets.
Leading edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we're going to be just a moment with Dr. Remlin. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and let's go to Roger, who's calling from Pennsylvania. Hi, Roger. Do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, thanks, gents. The last call kind of made me think, well, gee, which category of pseudoscientific psychological diagnosis are we going to shove this problem? Two questions, please. The second less, because I want to agree with you all around, the second totally. But the first, how do we know as not merely subjectively, but as a scientific matter, that some children can be, say, a million times as sensitive to the mercury?
All right, fine. Dr. Remlin, how can they say that some children are so much more sensitive than others?
The research was done by a scientist in Sweden with an unpronounceable name, Sonia Sjogren or something of that sort. I've met her, can't pronounce the name. But the work is done in, this is test tube research. Cells and various individuals are subjected to highly dilute solutions of mercury compounds and other kinds of compounds, and it's possible, apparently. I'm not a microbiologist, so I don't know the technology, but her work, if you're really interested in the work, you can see the references. There's a book called Detoxification by Sidney Baker, M.D., Detoxification. And he's got the references in there, which surprised me for the work of this Swedish scientist who reports that some cells are sensitive 1 millionth as much mercury as other people can tolerate. You know, it shouldn't be that surprising. Some people can eat peanuts by the handful. Others will die if they get one peanut. The same is with strawberries. Some people, I can eat a bushel of strawberries without any apparent damage. I know people who have, succumbed. A friend of mine, daughter of a friend of mine, died from eating a salad that had walnuts in it. I can eat walnuts for the bushel. So certain individuals are highly susceptible to others, to substances that other people can tolerate with impunity.
And, Roger, we carry actually a video that is called Uninformed Consent, and it actually shows pictures of these cells, and then, of course, they add mercury to this solution, and the shrill just shrivels up. So this can be done scientifically. Did you have another question?
Yeah, that sounds pretty credentialed then. As far as the treatment, previous guest years, maybe Galen or begins with a G, the doctor, suggested that with a chelating, you wanted, I think it was chelate for the mercury first before going for other toxics. Maybe I got that backwards. Else he suggested you might tend to bind the mercury by doing the other chelation first, something like that.
All right, let's get Dr. Rimland's remarks on that. What about chelation? Some people like to talk about chelation. Is that important, or would it be better to go with these products that you've been talking about?
Well, the products that I mentioned, the DMSA and DMPS, are part of the chelation process.
All right,
yes,
fine.
Chelation is the process of getting rid of the heavy metals, and it also gets rid of other metals as well, unfortunately, including nutritional metals such as zinc and copper, and by use of chemicals that grab onto the toxic metals and carry them out of the body.
All right, fine. Well, let's go to Jim calling from Salinas. Jim, did you have a question?
Yes, I did. I've never understood why mercury or thimerosal or whatever they want to call it was ever put into the vaccines in the first place. What's the story on that? Where did it come from? Why is it there? And why did somebody think it was needed?
All right, fine. Would you like to respond to that, Dr. Rimland?
Yes. The thimerosal was patented by Eli Lilly in about 1940 or so, the early part of the century, and just about the time that it was, by 1930, I think it is now, there are very few cases of autism reported ever in the literature until the mercury was, they started putting it into vaccines and other medical products. The mercury is so toxic that even tiny and minute amounts of it will kill funguses and bacteria.
And so that was really put in as an antiseptic then, or to kill bacteria and funguses and other things, but without ever stopping to think that it might have an effect on children. Did they have any studies to show it was safe?
No, they do not. It's quite remarkable that they would use it without just assuming that it was present in such small amounts that it would not be toxic. The reason for its use in the vaccines is that if you dip a needle, repeatedly into a vial of vaccine, you could be carrying bacteria and other kinds of contaminants back into the vial. And so the mercury is in there to kill anything that it comes in contact with. The solution to that problem, of course, is to use single-dose vials. You just stick the needle in one time and then pull it out with a vaccine in it and then throw the vial away. That tends to be expensive, but it's not as expensive as having a lifelong affliction with autism.
And Jim, I think the most amazing thing is the single-dose vials, they actually, they didn't put the thimerosal in. They only put it in the multiple-dose vials, and they've done everything they could, of course, to avoid doing the simple and logical thing and making simple-dose vials. You have to wonder why they've objected every step of the way to doing that. Well, it's going to cost a couple of cents more. Well, that's foolishness to me. Anything else, Jim?
Yeah, I always had thought, I didn't realize that the vials that they used for injections were not single dose.
Oh, no, those are multiple dose vials. We used to, for instance, many of the medicines I would use, cortisone and others were multiple dose vials, but we always, we certainly washed them off very carefully with alcohol, and to my knowledge, I never got an infection from any injection I ever did. So, hey, thanks so much for calling.
One of the interesting angles of these multiple dose vials is that the nurses or the doctors, who are giving the injections are supposed to shake those vials thoroughly so that the mercury will be evenly distributed throughout the solution. But people who have watched the nurses do this, they just give it a perfunctory shake, and therefore it may be that the dose at the bottom of the vial, the 10th dose, if it's a 10-dose vial, will contain you know, 5 or 10 times as much mercury as the earlier doses. And researchers are looking into that now to determine whether some kids, you know, just got a horrendously much larger dose than others, just simply because they were getting the vaccine from the bottom of the vial rather than the top.
Well, we've got Bert calling from Ohio. Bert, are you there?
Hi. How you doing, Dr. Stan?
Doing fine. Thanks for calling. Do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, sir. Who really stands to gain from having this mercury in the vaccine? And, I mean, like, as far as, like, pharmaceutical companies and psychological communities and stuff like that, because I'm seeing a trend in my son's school to where if there's any, you know, behavior problem or anything, it's like, oh, he's got, you know, attention deficit disorder, he needs to be put on Ritalin, blah, blah, blah. I just want to know, and is there any relation to, like, the SV40? I mean, is it traced back to that problem there, too?
And
I'll listen off the line.
Okay, fine. I think the SV40 is an entirely different situation. Of course, Bert is wondering if there's any reason they've done this. In other words, there might be any secondary agenda, or if this has just been a big blunder on their part, they don't want to admit it.
Well, I think the agenda is to save money. There's legal there's liability issues, class action lawsuits, both in the UK and in the US. Thousands of parents have contacted the attorneys to sue the drug companies for using a preservative which has never been shown to be safe. And of course, drug companies are fighting back with their lawyers and their PR departments and their advertising budget to squelch the people who are trying to get compensation for the damage that's been done to them.
Well, now, my understanding, though, is that we have this vaccine fund, this vaccine super fund, and so that the parents really can't bring a suit against the law companies until they've exhausted all of the legal machinations, legal routes that are in this vaccine fund, and that can take years. Have you gone into that part of it?
I am not going very deeply into that part of it. I know that one of the government's defenses has been to, you know, say that they have to, you know, to apply for a small amount of compensation for the compensation is hardly the word for the damage that was done to their kid, and until they've done that, they can't sue. An interesting court decision was made just a week or two ago. The people at the meeting that I attended in Sacramento that I mentioned earlier told me that a court of appeals here in the U.S. had decided that mercury as a preservative was not a vaccine. It was the company that makes the vaccines that are exempt from some of the lawsuits. But mercury is a preservative and not a vaccine, so the companies that make the mercury are not exempt from the lawsuit. So yeah, it's an interesting legal angle here.
Well, I think that even if you do win a lawsuit against this vaccine, the government vaccine fund, then they'll fight you and they'll fight you and they'll fight you, you know.
Yeah.
And try suing the government. Even though you win the case, they'll refuse to pay it. And who are you going to appeal to? The government. I think that George Washington understood it best when he said, government is like fire. It's a dangerous servant, but a fearful master. Well, let's go, of course, to Dale, who's calling us from Soquel. Hi, Dale. Did you have a question or comment?
I have a quick question, and I may have been out of the room briefly when this may have been discussed, but the ever-present question about fillings, and then I have a comment afterwards.
Well, of course, do you want to tackle that? That's more talking about Alzheimer's disease, isn't it? Now, what about childhood fillings? Can they play any part in this?
Yes. Some of the research shows that the mothers who, the more amalgam fillings they have, the more mercury in their body, the more likely the child is to be autistic.
In other words, if a mother has a lot of amalgam fillings and she gives birth to a child, there's an increased chance that's how the child got their mercury toxicity?
Well, that's one source of mercury.
Right.
Another source, of course, is the vaccines. The vaccine mercury is particularly important because it goes directly into the bloodstream without any, you know, chance for the body to use its own protective mechanisms.
Okay.
And, of course, there's the dietary mercury from, you know, canned tuna and so forth.
All right, Dale, anything else?
Yeah, just one quick comment that it's not just the fact that Daddy Bush is the major shareholder of Eli Lilly, thought, or a major shareholder, but there stands to be a lot of other people in the political and corporate arena that are profiting from this. So it's just until people stand up, speak out, as you are, Dr. Stan, God bless you, and as well as your guests.
Thank you so very much. Let's go to Sylvia calling from Texas. Hi, Sylvia.
Hi, Dr. Stan. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. How about you? What part of Texas are you in?
Round Rock.
All right, fine. Are you listening to us on the radio there?
Yes, I am.
All right.
Turned it off, though.
Okay, go ahead.
I heard that there's the simian, I believe it is. It's the monkey virus
uh-huh.
that was supposedly introduced into the polio vaccine, and the doctors knew about it in the 50s. And apparently it's now being found in all types of cancers.
Yes, we've actually got some very, very good material on that. We did a whole program on that. That's a little different subject, but you're absolutely right. They knew it was in the original Sabin and polio vaccine, the Salk vaccine, and they have concealed that from the American people from all this time because they're frightened if the American people realize what they did, why then we would lose confidence in them, so they've simply lied about it. And now, with the skyrocketing rates of cancer, and we find the mesotheliomas, which prior to this we only associated with asbestos toxicity, and now we're finding mesotheliomas in people who have no contact with asbestos, and of course when you check the tumors you find the SV40 there. So yes, there's a very definite causal relationship, but they cannot admit that. So anything else you want to say, Sylvia?
No, that's all. Thank you very much, Dr. Stan, for being there.
God bless you. Bye-bye. Okay, fine. Well, did you have any thoughts at all? Are you acquainted at all with the story of the SV40 and the polio vaccine, Doctor?
Yes, I'm not an expert on it, but I certainly agree with your representation of what happened. It's a very well-known story to those of us who've looked into the relationship.
In fact, there is a book, if anybody can get it. It was actually put out by, of all people, the National Institute of Health. It's called The Health Sensory, and if you read that, the whole story is there. And the National Institute of Health was furious when they realized what was in the book that they'd paid for, because, of course, the last thing they want is for people to know the true story there.
I wasn't aware of that book. What's the name of it?
It's called The Health Sensory. The Health Sensory, and it's a fascinating book. It was actually paid for by the National Institute of Health.
Is it available?
Oh, yes. Well, you would have to get it through a used bookstore. It's not in print any longer. Well, you wouldn't expect it to be.
I will soon try to get a hold of a copy.
All right. Well, of course, there's so much of this story of autism. Now, there is really an increasing awareness. Are we reaching the doctors at all? Because I never knew a doctor who would intentionally want to harm a patient. Are we reaching the average doctor with this story of the relationship between the mercury and the autism, or is it still an uphill battle?
It's an uphill battle. However, one of the very, very few benefits of the epidemic of autism is that more and more doctors themselves are having autistic children. And those doctors begin looking around, and they suddenly realize that they have been duped all these years, and they have joined our forces, and we're having a major conference in Los Angeles on October the 1st and through 3rd at the Airport Hilton Hotel, or not Hilton, Airport Weston Hotel, called Defeat Autism Now. If people go to our website, they will learn about this. And most of our speakers are physicians who themselves have autistic kids, who are traditionally trained physicians who believe that the vaccines were perfectly safe and highly desirable and, no adverse effects like autism. They look into the situation and they find they have been duped, and they're now on our side.
Well, I think it's important that our listeners get the truth, get the facts. Maybe you'd like to get a copy of this program. You go to a website, and could you give that website just one more time?
Yeah, it's autismresearchinstitute.com.
That's autismresearchinstitute.com, and it's
right.
Really going to be up to you out in the listening audience to get that information and get that to your doctor and say, Would you intentionally hurt a child? Of course you wouldn't. Is it possible you're being lied to by your medical association? And I think that once you can get them thinking, they'll begin to see all of these various issues coming to fore. And in a few minutes, we'll tell you about some of the items that information that we have available through Radio Liberty. Well, Dr. Rimland, I really want to thank you so very much for being with us. And I do hope we can get you on our other programs, because we do 5 hours of talk radio a day, and we have entirely different audiences early in the morning and late at night. And we just need to get this information out across America.
Well, I'm delighted. I'm going to talk to you later. I want to get your address so that I can send you information about a book by Neil Miller called Vaccines or Vaccinations, Are They Safe and Effective?
All right, fine. Well, I will give you a call off the air.
We'll do that. Because he would make a wonderful interviewee for you.
All right, God bless you. Thank you so much for being with us and for sticking with us for 46 years, but it's so important.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City? Well, a very important video is the cover-up in Oklahoma City. It really consists of film clips that were actually taken from video footage shot during the first 2 or 3 days after the bombing. And you'll actually hear the commentators in Oklahoma City talking about the second bomb, the third bomb that had been disarmed. Now, if they were actually disarming bombs, why didn't we hear that throughout the rest of the country? You'll actually hear an interview with one of the gentlemen who was in the Murrah building at the time that the bomb went off, and he had time then to jump underneath his desk before the glass blowing from outside. Obviously, there were two bombs, one inside, one outside. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Let me mention some of the things that we carry here at Radio Liberty, which I think you really ought to get. One of them is a 4-tape set on mercury. And, of course, it goes into interviews with Dr. Geyer, who has done some of the fundamental research on the vaccines. In fact, he got into the CDC computers, and he found they knew all about the relationship between mercury and the autism, because they had two groups of just people, one who got DPT shots with mercury and one that didn't. And, of course, there are dramatic differences in the incidence of autism, but they're afraid for this information to get out, and they're doing everything they can to suppress it. So our 4-tape set on entitled Mercury, we recommend, there's a 2 hours interviews with Dr. Boyd Haley, who's professor of chemistry at the University of Kentucky, and I will tell you that this is a fine 4-tape set. Will give you so much information. And then, of course, we carry a video. It's called Uninformed Consent, and it has the smoking tooth. And if you've never seen a picture of the smoking tooth, it's simply a tooth with a filling in it that has been you actually see this with a mercury, the special mercury filter there, and you can actually see the fumes coming off of that tooth. Of course, they like to call it the smoking truth, and I'll tell you the people on the other side are furious. The last thing they want is to admit what's going on, but the people across America are realizing the real danger of mercury in our fillings, and increasingly dentists are not using mercury, they're using ceramics. Of course, it takes a little bit longer, but it's such an important thing. You should not be getting mercury fillings. So you'll want to get these two items. One is uninformed consent. The other is our 4-tape set on mercury. And with this information, you can certainly approach your doctor or anyone and warn them of what's happening. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and of course, this is the time when we need to remind our listeners out across America that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we do hope that many of you will decide right now you're going to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and help us as we reach out across America 5 hours every day. And we're incidentally going to be picking up several news stations for our evening program that we're going to actually get the rest of this story. In other words, we already have, I think, 10 stations, and there'll be another 3 or 4 stations this evening that'll begin carrying our program. And we hope that we can actually increase our listening audience dramatically. So if it I would like to join the Radio Liberty family and help us in what we do, because believe me, it's expensive getting our buying talk radio on dying time on stations across America. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. We hope many of you want to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. If you'd like to get a free copy of our latest newsletter, our July newsletter, of course, deals with what really happened on the morning of September 11th. There is a smoking gun there. There is information that was contained within the 911 commission hearings, but they didn't bother to put it in the report. In fact, it was a most amazing thing when you actually read what was said, and then you realize that none of the commissioners there followed through on the fact that orders were given not to intercept the plane coming to get the Pentagon. So you want to read the testimony, you want to verify it on the Internet. If you don't have Internet, of course, we can actually send you the page from the testimony. But our July newsletter is must reading. Of course, we hope you'll want to subscribe to the newsletter or maybe join the Radio Liberty family. We get the newsletter automatically. But if you'd like a free copy, why, certainly give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Or if you have the Internet, of course, you can go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com, and look up the July 2004 Radio Liberty letter. Now, I was mentioning that we do have a number of items you need on the subject of mercury and autism. We have a 4-tape set on mercury. We have a 4-tape set called Life-Saving Secrets, where you're going to actually hear Dr. Russell Blaylock on one complete talk on the dangers of mercury. You'll want to get Dr. Blaylock's book, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life, because that talks about fluoride, talks about vaccinations, talks about mercury, talks about all sorts of things you need to know if you care about your health and the health of your family. We have a video called Uninformed Consent, where you'll actually see the smoking tooth, or somebody referred to as the smoking truth, but it's actually a tooth that actually has a filling in it, and putting it up against a mercury shield where you actually see the vapors coming off. It's a fascinating video, and you'll actually see the hearings held in Washington, D.C., where, of course, so many of the people got up and talked about the danger of fillings and the danger of mercury and the vaccines. And then, of course, the final report came out, had nothing to do with the testimony. Why? Because they can't let the American people know the truth. I mean, wouldn't you lose all confidence in the medical profession? Wouldn't you lose confidence in the CDC and the NIH if you knew they were doing things that were intentionally and they knew were harming your health? Well, you need to get the 4-tape set on mercury. You need to get the 4-tape set, Life-Saving Secrets. You need to get the video, Uninformed Consent. And then, of course, the book, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life, they're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Remember, we're having an all-day seminar here in the Monterey Bay area on the 6th of November. Lunch will be served. It's going to be held at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course, and we're bringing in outside speakers. Give us a call of 1-800-544-8927. Tell your friends, make your reservations now. We need to know ahead of time how many people are coming. That's the November 6th all-day Radio Liberty Seminar. And, of course, call us at 1-800-544-8927. And then pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and ministers. But pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.